Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Monday. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're going to get right into it here in a second with Tucson's Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham representing the Ward 2 on the Tucson City Council, talking about a big vote coming up tomorrow related to downtown and the Central Business District. We'll talk a little bit about the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the third segment and just some thoughts on where that goes here the next few weeks. We'll wrap up the show with Devin Underwood, principal of the Talent Store. Workforce pivots, getting Tucson's workers and companies back to work together well. Let's just jump right in. It is Monday, September 21st. Here we go. Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham, welcome on the air. How are you today?
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. So I wanted to get right into it. A big conversation tomorrow. The Tucson City Council will relook, and it sounds like vote on the renewal of the Central Business District, a vote that was tentatively set to happen September 9th. It was postponed. There's got to be a decision by October 1st, as I'm aware. What's on the council's mind tomorrow as we look at this renewal of an economic incentive district?
It's a bunch of moving parts. I mean, again, we're in a situation where there's just lots of different types of information going around. But the bottom line is that we've done 24 GPLETs, and a couple of them were kind of unique. But in the 22 that were true business stimulus situations, the long-term tax collection for 30 years will actually put us way ahead. I mean, you know, if you're looking at it as an abatement year to year in the first 8 years, then sure, you can make the argument that it's not worth it. But I don't know if that holds as much water, considering that in most cases, in most of our GPLETs, I think 20 of the 22, the amount of sales tax revenue the amount of property tax revenue generated over a 30-year period dwarfs what would be available had they not done the GPLET. I mean, it's in some cases it's like 30 and 40-fold on the amount of money that will be available to school districts and to the county as we move on. So a couple of those GPLETs are now 7 and 8 years old, and that's a good thing. And so I feel that in some cases it's worth it. Moreover, and this is probably the bigger piece, is that the GPLET has they've renewed it in Phoenix. We're kind of grandfathered in, but we have some flexibility on how we can extend our CBD, and we have some flexibility to be able to work with different neighborhoods. And we'd lose that flexibility if we didn't renew the GPLET. We'd lose it in 5 years, and then we'd have to reconstitute it. Whereas if we renew it now, we get another 10 years with the flexibility. And this is the biggest part, and that is that in some cases, we don't actually need the GPLET. There's certain situations where we don't need it. There's even in situations where we may not get a 30 or 40-fold return on revenue. But the bottom line is that we should have it. We don't know what's going to happen in the next decade. We don't know what's going to happen if there's another recession. We don't know what's going to happen out of the pandemic. So, look, the GPLET is a thing that we don't necessarily need to use it every time, but we need to have it. And so that's kind of my thought on where we're going. I don't know how I can't speak for the rest of the council, but I think that the GPLET has done a lot of good things. And it's going to be pretty interesting over the next 3 or 4 years as some of these GPLET projects, as their abatement expires, the county and some of the school districts that they're in, mainly TUSD, will receive a reasonable windfall in some cases a substantial amount of cash will be poured in after a certain tax year. So each year that a project comes off of the abatement, you see that windfall come.
We're speaking with Tucson's Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham representing Ward 2 in the city. Just a couple of real quick terms. The central business district, the state allows a city or a jurisdiction like Tucson to, I think it's up to 2.5% of the total planning area, set a business district in which the city is able to offer developers basically an 8-year abatement on excise and property taxes in that district on developments. That's called the GPLET. So there's the Central Business District. The GPLET, which we talked about already, Paul, is that economic incentive opportunity you mentioned, that over 20 of them have been granted since 2012. One of the major concerns out in the community is that is needed revenue right now, most developers don't need the GPLET, and that it creates community impacts like gentrification and displacement. We can get into some of that even more in our second segment, but as you've heard from the community, what would be your thoughts, either affirming those positions or pushing back on any of them?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Can you say that again?
Sure. Some concerns from the community, and we've even seen this in the legislative branch of our state, is that developers really don't need the GPLET. Some have said downtown is done. We don't need to keep developing downtown. If someone wants to come downtown, that's an incentive enough. A lot of neighborhoods are saying there's gentrification and displacement concerns with this. As you've listened to the community, what would be some of your affirmations of those themes or any pushbacks as you're looking into the topic?
Well, over the years, all those things are true, and they're also false. It depends on the project and when it was. You could definitely argue that there's certain projects in the heart of downtown that probably no longer need the GPLET. There are also projects in downtown where it makes a lot of sense. And remember, this abatement is built into the financial model. So a lot of times it ends up being the margin. I'd argue that the early GPLETs absolutely put projects on the plate. I mean, in other words, I'd go the opposite way and say some of those projects wouldn't have happened had we not done the GPLET. So I don't know if I agree necessarily that we couldn't. I'm not buying that one. And you know what I mean? I don't think that argument holds true completely, where if you're going to come and tell me that we could have done a bunch of projects in 2012, 13, 14, when we're coming out of the recession, and we could have gotten those projects approved without the GPLET. I don't know if that's true or not. You'd have to ask some of the people who worked those projects. Some of them have not necessarily provided some giant windfall to people. And again, if you have the incentive and the business community says, hey, look, we want to invest into Tucson, but it makes sense for us, so we're not going to, then we lose that revenue. So I don't know if that, I don't know if, yes, you're going to find a project where somebody took advantage. There's going to be one project where the tax revenue windfall after the 8-year abatement may not be as high as you wanted, or may even only break even. There's one project in there that, you know, we're just not going to do that well on. We're going to do okay. But remember, you're not just collecting on the new bills. You're not just collecting the future property tax revenue. You're collecting impact people. You're collecting, hopefully, CBA agreements. And that's some of the stuff we can go into, where we can add community benefits packages, community benefits agreements that accompany GPLETs. And if we do that, I think we'll do really well on them. I think neighborhoods will do really well. I'd say, to be fair, going up and down Congress right now, you're going to have a tough time convincing me you need a GPLET. Unless you're bringing a bunch of primary jobs and a huge CBA to the table, I'm going to have a tough time voting for a GPLET going up and down Congress or Broadway right now. You're already in the TIF. You already have the streetcar. You can go to Rio Nuevo for the TIF. You can go to the TIF district for a GPLET. But I'm not really interested in
continuing that in places where it's just not blighted. But we've got other places kind of that are in the tentacles of our CBD, and those tentacles wouldn't be allowed to exist if we didn't renew it. And those tentacles allow us to do some investment in areas that are really still having a tough time and struggling to have investment into it. And that goes even further. Having tentacles means that we can extend those tentacles. The CBD doesn't have to be this, like, clump shape. And as a result, someday we may be able to stretch the CBD to, like Grand Albernon, which is in dire need of investment, or maybe on the 29th Street corridor, which is dire need of investment. And we can't do that without the flexibility that exists in the rules that we're grandfathered into.
We're going to go to a short break. When we come back, we're going to really segue from that last comment that Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham, City of Tucson's Vice Mayor, just mentioned. Is where do we go from here? What are some thoughts as the council heads into a vote on what I think is a big issue tomorrow on Tuesday? Let's go to that quick break. We'll come back. We've got Paul Cunningham for a limited time, so we'll return shortly and wrap this conversation up. Don't go anywhere, Tucson.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back. We are wrapping up this conversation with Tucson Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham, representing Ward 2. here in the city. We just heard from council member Cunningham that his thoughts on the GPLET and economic incentive in the urban core, in his mind, has been granted to mostly local developers, have mostly fulfilled the promises that were made when the city council granted them, and allows for both neighborhood considerations and also the opportunity for investment into the community. We've got you, Paul, for I think like 5 or 6 minutes at the very most here. With all that said, in the first segment, what do you hope the city council decides tomorrow on the issue of renewing or expanding the Central Business District?
Like I said, we don't necessarily need to use it. We don't need to use it, but we need it. And that's the bottom line. So, you know, I think we should consider definitely at least renewing the CBD piece. But then I think we come back. So we haven't. Then we haven't. But then we come back a few weeks later and say, hey, look, we're gonna either freeze or we're going to change some of our GPLET requirements as far as the criteria that we get. And we should have some type of point system where community benefits agreements, that's direct benefits to neighborhoods in lieu of impact fees or impact fee relief, primary jobs incentive, or premium impact fees that go into GPLETs where you're getting a GPLET and you're getting PCIC, maybe you pay extra impact. We could probably see this conversation holistically so that we can strike a balance in future GPLETs for both the neighborhoods and for the investment. Because, that's one of the things that's happened is that we've got some misinformation out there. When this investment happens, especially on new builds, especially if they're residential, you get to bank that money to invest in parks, capital improvements on parks, maintenance, capital improvements on roads, road maintenance. And so not only do you collect those impact fees, but if you're putting some extra money in the community benefits agreement, all of a sudden you get an opportunity for new sidewalks, streetscapes. You can do all kinds of things in neighborhoods. And that's one of the things about this investment that goes a long way that people forget is that there's always a plus side to investment in the community. Look, I'm not saying that all new construction is welcome. I mean, there's some stuff that, you look at it 5 years later and you think, why did they build that? But at the end of the day, most of the time, investment allows for neighborhoods to not only develop, but they can develop smartly, where they can maximize what happens. The offshoot is that as things happen, property values do go up, but your assessment on your property tax can only go up 5% a year at the max by state law. So even if your property value goes up 15-20% a year, your actual property tax assessment is only going up 5% a year. This is great for the homeowners in neighborhoods. It is not good for the renters. It is not, you're in a situation where the renters, the property value go up, so the landlord will then charge the rent higher at a much higher rate than 5%. And that's kind of what we're running into in certain segments. And, that's the hard part. Or landlords who own small time, now's the time to sell because their property values are increasing. And as a result, the new owner comes in and evicts the longtime tenant. And so we've had those scenarios play out, and we have to have a solution for that. We have to have like some type of 18-month or some type of window where people who've lived in the neighborhood a long time as a renter can have the opportunity to stay. And that's kind of where we're missing the mark, but I think we can probably strike a good balance that's beneficial to all.
Council Member Cunningham, you were just reassigned the vice mayor title. You represent Ward 2 on the Tucson City Council. That does seem to be where the city council is going tomorrow, is at least in terms of the proposal looked at, is to renew it as a tool and then to process as a community what expansion looks like and how to mitigate some of these challenges that come with, especially in the urban core development. Council Member Cunningham, thank you so much for your time this morning, for squeezing us in here in your busy schedule, and we'll be watching tomorrow online. Thanks so much.
Jack, thanks for having me. Let's have a great week, Tucson. We got it, you know, who knows? We've got either a month or 4 months left on this craziness, but as far as this pandemic goes, it's what's on people's mind, and we've met it with full force in Tucson, and if we can get through this time, this year of heck, we're going to be all right.
Thank you, sir, so much. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
And that is our conversation to kick off our week here with the Vice Mayor of Tucson, Paul Cunningham. And indeed, that is what is on the agenda tomorrow. One of the many agenda items is looking at the Central Business District. And, you know, living in a neighborhood in the downtown area myself, a lot of the themes of that resonate is really the need for economic initiatives and housing and community development, these two departments in the city, to be really working hand in hand on figuring out how do we provide well investment dollars into areas that that do need it. How do we prioritize community sensitive and local development? How do we really incentivize smart and inclusive growth? How do we make sure that our housing and community development strategy is paired with our economic initiatives strategy? Over the last few months, the community has brought many of these issues to bear, and I think it's created some good discussion, and we'll see what happens in the city council meeting tomorrow. You can watch that online. I found the easiest way in COVID is to go to YouTube. There's always been a link on the city website. It's a little hard to navigate to. I know in the Wake Up Tucson last hour, there was discussion about another item that was on the agenda. So if you're interested in one or all of this, YouTube tomorrow, the study session and the meeting tomorrow will be interesting. Again, this whole conversation that the vice mayor and I were talking about, the city has to make a decision by October 1st whether they're going to renew this incentive district that in large part is responsible for what we've seen downtown, whether you like it or not. We're hearing from both sides on that issue right now in the community. Really, since 2012, most of the or a large degree of the development that we've seen in the downtown core has been in part due to Rio Nuevo and this central business district. So I think it's an important conversation, a lot of impacts, and I've certainly been in the weeds on it quite a bit myself. When we come back from a short break here at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk a little bit about the loss of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, some thoughts on what that means going forward and for the election. And then we will head to our fourth segment, wrapping up this hour with Devin Underwood, principal of the Talent Store, talking about how we get Tucson's companies, organizations, and workers back to work well together in Tucson here as we get through COVID together. We've just gotten started here on this Monday show. We'll be right back. Don't leave us yet.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back. It is Monday, September 21st, and we are taking this morning to get back into the week like we often do, making sense of the weekend that was, looking at the week ahead. I hope everyone had a restful and somewhat relaxed weekend, got to share it with the people close to you. You're staying safe and staying healthy. A few quick moments on what happened, obviously, Friday afternoon after we all left the studio and as we headed into the weekend was a very important loss for America. I don't mean important in terms of agreement or disagreement with politics or positions, but certainly Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was an iconic justice on the court, was iconic in just her personality, was iconic in what she meant to a lot of different issues. And again, on Facebook, I saw a lot of people who I know disagree with her policies and her politics and her positions, still say, you know, wow, this was a heavy loss. One of the most respected jurists on the court for many, many, many years in terms of her intellect, in terms of just what she brought to the bench, will be missed and a absolutely crazy loss. If you had to sit down and script out that level of loss during this kind of a year, this close to a very, very important presidential election, you couldn't have scripted it any more dramatic. I mean, it's just you almost feel like you're in a video game at this point, and someone is playing you. And again, this is not a reference to any politics or positions or party, but just a really crazy way to head into the weekend. You know, and certainly. I agree. I think one of my favorite quotes of Ginsburg's was something to the effect of fight for what you believe in, but do it in a way that brings people to your cause. And I know that can sound very high level, and probably even she didn't always act that way. But I think it's a great sentiment for the times we live in. It's honorable to advocate for the values that you believe in the most. But we live in a time where we have lost any sort of interest in believing that we actually have to get other people to agree with us and have to bring other people into our orbit, communicate clearly, and try to persuade. We've lost any desire to do that. We've lost any feeling like that's important. I certainly echo that sentiment. I'm still processing all of what does this mean for 2020. I would bet that the Biden and Trump campaigns are also still processing. What does this mean? Just a few weeks out from the 2020 election, If I had to make a guess, and it's become an educated guess, as this morning has even gone on, and the president himself has said it, there's a few nominations that the president is going to make for the Senate to begin considering. That is not going to be delayed. That is going to move forward. It looks like right now that McConnell has a one Republican senator advantage in this whole process. In other words, two Republican senators have said that they don't want this to happen before the election. And if one to two other Republican senators also agree with that, then the chances of anyone that the president puts before the Senate, which is his right to do so, whoever the president was, has the right to do so, no matter how close we get to an election, it is up to the Senate to decide. This process may not carry forward before the election passes. Of course, the interesting element to all this, and this is another very Arizona-specific piece that is connected, is that don't forget the Martha McSally Mark Kelly race is to finish out a Senate term. It is not a new Senate term. And so one of the interesting elements of this is should Mark Kelly be elected as the senator for Arizona, should he defeat Senator Martha McSally, then he could be sworn in as early as November and be an added Democrat in the vote against any placement of any of Trump's nominees on the court. So a very interesting Arizona connection there that is unique. So lots of things would have to go either just right or just wrong, depending on how you're looking at the situation, to get there. But just really, really interesting dynamics. I think I'll have more time this week to get into the details, but the politics around the Supreme Court have been dirty for about 40 years, and there's a lot of virtue signaling right now about what should happen here. The fact of the matter is, since Bork, I believe in the 80s, I think Reagan put forward Bork, and Bork got borked. It was so bad in terms of a character assassination that it is now a verb. Bork got borked. This has been dirty politics. The Supreme Court has been dirty politics for about 40 years, and we shouldn't expect anything different on this one. So if all things hold true as they are today, my hunch is that some selections by the president will go before the Supreme Court. If one or two Republicans don't join in the dissenting effort to not have it happen until after the election, I think that there will start to be a confirmation hearing. So this is crazy in many directions. I've heard that there's one potential woman on the list, on President Trump's list, that people are talking about. Well, if he puts this woman forward, then it'll clinch Florida. That part I don't like. Like, this should not be politicized in that way. Select the right person. Let the Senate decide if you're going to move in that direction. So that's the news of the day. A little bit of a commemoration of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the beginning. Some thoughts on what happens going forward. That takes us to our last break of the hour. We're going to go to that break. When we come back, Devin Underwood, principal of the Talent Store, founder of the Talent Store, is on with us to close us out, talking workforce pivots, best ways to get our workers and our companies back to work together well. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Listen to the live stream and find podcasts of your favorite shows at KVOI.com.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? all while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at Mass Mutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit. WhyILoveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to WhyILoveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, we are back. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, September the 21st. Getting the week going together, making sense of the weekend that was, looking at the week ahead. I'm excited to be joined by Devin Underwood, the founder of The Talent Store, to talk more with us about workforce pivots, getting Tucson's companies and workers back to work together well. Devin, happy Monday. How's it going so far?
Hi, Zach. How are you?
Doing well. I think at least I'm like most people probably listening, not you, Devin, but probably most people listening, where the weekend was so relaxing, I'm still getting wound up for the week ahead. We're doing it together today.
Yes. Yeah. It was a very chill weekend, I think.
It was.
Everybody probably is feeling that way. Yep.
It was, absolutely. Well, there's a video presentation that I want to point people to at the end, but you basically kind of in one shot got to share with some entrepreneurs recently, really your process, your six-part process to really getting the right people in the right spots at the right companies to help our workers and our companies really return to work well and thrive well in kind of this new normal of COVID-19. Are you able to share kind of the brief overview of that process with our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. So we've talked a little bit about it on your show, but it really is, I use the acronym TALENT, talent strategy, but you're creating your talent avatar, planning your advertising and outreach, laying out the vetting process, executing on your strategy, narrowing and negotiating, so determining who you're going to give an offer to, and then transitioning that person in the onboarding process. So there's some steps in there. It's not complicated, but it does take some thought work and some time to really be strategic about it. But if you give that at the front end, you're set up really well to put yourself in a great position to have the best hire and really set them up for success.
Devin, I want to circle back to this process from the employer perspective, but we have both employers and employees, either present or future employees at these companies listening as well. You get to be one of the frontline kind of vetters there at the talent store of the talent that's coming before Tucson's local companies. What are some of the things that really impress you about candidates? Just maybe a quick kind of a side conversation there. When you're interviewing, what are you most impressed by? What gives you kind of confidence that the person you're talking to might be a great fit for the companies that are asking you to help hire them?
Yeah, let me tell you, one of the first questions I ask is, why are you looking? Or what caught your eye about this role? And if somebody has some really smart and thoughtful answers to that, I'm immediately excited to keep talking to them. So have they thought about their career? Have they thought about themselves? Do they know who they are? Do they know where they want to go? Did they do any research on the company? Did they connect those dots ahead of time? I just had a client, international company. Their leadership or their C-suite is now in Tucson, which is really cool. Their board is in Germany. So their leadership of the Americas is sitting here in Tucson quietly doing their thing. This is a green tech company. They're really incredible. They were looking for a director of finance and logistics, and the person who got the job did the research. He knew who they were. He had thought really clearly about what he wanted to do in his career and the next place he wanted to go, and he could articulate that. And that's really impressive. It's not, you know, there are some level of jobs where it's just getting a gig, but even then, if you've really thought about why that company and why you want to be there or what you want to do next or how it fits into your life, you're already on a much better trajectory than most people.
Right. No, I agree with you there. I want to circle back to the six-part process, the talent strategy, T-A-L-E-N-T, and you just outlined what all those pieces are. You work with a lot of Tucson companies of a lot of different sizes. Is there something that you've seen in this market that Tucson companies often miss in that process? Is there one of those pieces that you find time and time again, man, companies could be doing way better on this, and I'm seeing it as a trend? Which one of those pieces might be the weakest that you've seen in Tucson companies?
Yep, spending time to decide who you need, who you really need. So often I go out on job boards, and they're just posting the job description from HR. They haven't really thought about, one, is this even the job description that actually makes sense? They haven't thought about the soft skills and the success factors that they need. They haven't thought about what industries this person might come from. And I mean, I get all day long job requisitions that they haven't even talked about how this would benefit a person. Why would someone even want the job? And they're not articulating it out there. And so if you can't frame who you need in a unique way, not just who you need in this really HR-y way, but who you need in success attributes, career trajectory, where they live in the marketplace, you can't attract that person. And then if you're not talking about what that person will benefit by joining your company, you're not going to get that person excited to hit apply. And so not just what are you going to pay, not just we have healthcare and 401k, but have you thought about even what the career path is for this job? Have you thought about next steps? Have you thought about what their life will look like if they join your company? And how do you articulate that in a way that gets the right person excited and that's authentic to what you're actually going to provide? So that's a huge miss. So it's that talent avatar and advertising outreach that gets missed. And even the vetting process, they're not interviewing in a way that shows you who the person is. They're not asking questions in a behavioral way. They're not doing it in a space and time with the right people that actually get you somewhere. They're just throwing an ad out and asking questions in an office and then hoping they get it right.
Have you, I mean, this is a ballpark question and kind of off the cuff as I'm just listening to what you're saying, but a lot of the steps you've mentioned, I think, are really important. I think a lot of companies listening, employers listening, would go, yeah, this is important. It also is a lot of work. On the ROI side, Devin, have you at the Talent Store been able to ballpark in general, what is the money lost when a company tries to kind of hack their way through this process? They don't bring on the right person. That person's gone in 3 months. What did it cost the average company to not do this process well? Do you have any numbers on that?
Yeah, and I'll put some out there. I mean, it's all over the board, and it really depends. There's a great worksheet for each company to do its own calculation. But it's anywhere from the full annual salary of the person to three times.
Jeez.
And it really depends on, you know, what you invest in somebody. But you're looking at the cost of all of that time spent, the money paid to the person, the money paid to the labor to train the person, the loss of any revenue, like if they're client facing, what does that mean for how your client feels about you? And what revenue is lost there, right? You've got, I mean, turnover is incredibly expensive. And a lot of recruiting firms were built on people staying about a year so they can keep finding different people for you. And that's not what we do here. I mean, we are focused on the long-term match because companies cannot get traction and grow unless they get the right people and those people stay.
Right.
And that's just, that's everything.
Devin, you have offered over the last few weeks, and we've summarized it here today, your talent strategy. Determine who you need and how you do that's important. Advertise and outreach well. There's important elements to that. Lay out the vetting process, execute, and put that into action. Narrow down your finalists. Make sure you have a backup candidate. And transition. and transition. What does that culture setting and transition process look like? We've got about 3.5 minutes, Devin, and I think I'd love to end in, what is your call to action to Tucson's employers? How is this moment challenging employers? And then how are you here to help? Obviously, want to point people in your direction to help facilitate this process. What's unique in this moment challenging Tucson employers, Devin?
Yeah, I think more than ever, let's really think about what your employees are going through right now. So if you've lost a mission critical position, if somebody's moved back to be closer to their family, if they've had a change of heart about where they are in their career and they've left, if you've done some layoffs and furloughs and your people are feeling strapped. And let me tell you, Zach, I'm getting calls from incredibly talented people every day, quietly telling me that they're leaving their company.
That's so hard.
Because they are over capacity and doing three jobs and are nervous about the future because the company has not clearly communicated how they're going to be okay. And these are big companies here in Tucson that are not communicating properly. So you're going to start losing people. And when you do, they're already capacity thin. As soon as they get more strapped because one more person leaves, you're going to lose a lot. Or you're going to be stuck with or settling for those who can't work anywhere else. And right. That's a big spiral. Get on top of your mission critical roles now. It is an investment that will pay off in spades, and you will be set up to succeed and thrive after this. And we're here to help you do that. I know everybody's kind of sitting and holding their breath and hoping and being conservative, but the ones that are leaning in, the ones that are setting themselves up to be okay and their employees to be okay are going to come out of this thriving. And Tucson's in an okay, decent place to do that. So just get a little aggressive with it and let us help you.
I love it. And I would recommend if someone's going to get aggressive, they need you to help them. You do this for a living. You do it really well. Devin, where can people go and find you and set up an appointment to maybe talk this through for their company?
Yep, absolutely. Go to yourtalentstore.com. My calendar has a link direct to it. Put a time on there and let's talk.
Sounds good. I would highly recommend it. Devin, thank you so much for walking us through this process. We're going to keep talking every week about different topics, but it's been great to get a high-level look at what you do and how you help Tucson companies and workers get back to work together well. So I appreciate you. I know our listeners do as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Zach. Have a great rest of your day.
We'll see you soon. That was Devin Underwood, the principal and founder of The Talent Store. The workplace and the workforce is changing. Don't go it alone. Get someone on your side who can help you. Tucson, that does it for us on this show, this Monday show. Thanks for kicking off the week with us and making it a good Monday. We are going to be on with ASU President Michael Crow tomorrow, Tuesday. Some exciting news and just even lively breaking news this morning from ASU related to college students, on-campus courses, the future of education during COVID, all of that. We'll talk with him about it. And more on Tuesday, September 22nd. Take care, Tucson. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you tomorrow.